Is everyone having a good weekend? Awesome. Good. Why don't we do this? Why don't we pray as we jump into God's word this morning? Father, we thank you for everyone here this morning. We thank you. I love hearing the voices during breakout of people just communicating together, just fellowshipping together and reconnecting. And Lord, I just pray, God, that this would be a house of community where people can feel like they can come and be a part of fellowship, Christian fellowship together. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing. And Lord, I also want to thank you for all that you want to do. God, just believing that you want to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask, think, even dream, imagine. You're that type of God. And Lord, we don't want to hold you back, but we want to march forward with you leading the way. So Lord, we just thank you for this day, and we just thank you for our time together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Okay. Well, good morning. Everyone, just let your neighbor say good morning to your neighbor. Do that right now. Say good morning. I do want to welcome you to Journey Church. It is great, great to have you here this morning. What we're going to do today, I'm going to look for the clicker here. What we're going to do today is we're going to continue a series that we started several weeks ago. Last week was Easter, great day. 2 weeks ago was Palm Sunday. So this was a series that we started even before that, and the name of the series is Created for Community, Created for Community. And what we did is we discovered in the book of Genesis that Adam, who is the prototype of all people, was created to be in community. He's created to be in community with God, but also with other people. And I want to let you know we're the same. Each and every one of us is the same as Adam. We're to be in community with God, and we're to be in community with other people. And it seems to me that life works best when that's working, okay? So when we got this thing going with God, this relationship with God through Christ, and we're in community with other believers, I believe that's when we're at the sweet spot of life. That's just when life works the best, okay? So we're going to talk about that this morning, Created for Community, okay? So before we dive into new content this morning, I want to share with you about a TED Talk that I heard a couple years back, and it really made an impact on me. So I just want to, a show of hands, how many people know what I'm remotely even talking about when I say TED Talk? Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand if you've heard of a TED Talk. Okay. There's a lot of people that didn't raise their hand. Basically, a TED Talk is a media organization that posts online for free distribution. They post these different talks, and it's all about this idea of ideas worth spreading. So people will get up and they'll talk about any different topic. It could be anywhere from science to business to global issues. And they talk on these certain issues. For example, they talk about communication, vulnerability. I actually saw one this week while I was scrolling, and it says, how hip-hop helps us understand science. I thought that was interesting. I didn't take the time to listen to it, but that was a TED Talk. How hip-hop helps us understand science. But these TED Talks are pretty cool. They've been going on for about 35 years, and they go out online to over 100 different languages. And one of the things I like most about, actually the thing I like the most about these TED Talks is they're very, very short, okay? So some are, I've watched, they're only like 5 minutes. Other ones, I've seen the longest one, maybe about 18 to 20 minutes. And that's great. It just gives you, just over lunch, you could watch a TED Talk. If you're like me, I eat lunch alone a lot of days, and I like to go home and make that time worthwhile, so I'll watch a TED Talk. So it's a nice short talk that where I can get educated, okay? So why do I bring this up? I bring this up because, as I said, a couple years back, I listened to a TED Talk that really got my attention, okay? And this particular talk was given by a man from London, England, and his name is Simon Sinek. Has anybody ever heard that name before? Simon Sinek, okay? Actually, he gave one of the most hands-down popular TED Talks that has gone viral. People are listening to it left and right. And on that day, the talk was entitled, How Great Leaders Inspire Actions. By the way, that's Simon. Doesn't he look English? But anyway, How Great Leaders Inspire Actions. And what Simon did in this talk is he shared what is called the Golden Circle. And by the way, we're not going to talk about this long this morning, but I want to let you know that this golden circle actually works in in your home. It works in our church. It works anywhere where you're a leader, okay? So I just want to encourage you with this. It's called the Golden Circle, and it's made up of these three questions. The three questions are the what, the how, and the why, okay? So in his studies, what Simon discovered is that most businesses, when they're trying to sell a product, or most leaders, when they're wanting people, encourage people to a certain action, what they do, most people, most businesses start from the outside and they work their way in. They start with the what question. What is it that we want people to do? What is it that we want people to buy? And then they move to the next question. The next question is how? How are we going to accomplish the what? And then most people, most businesses, they end with the why question, okay? So what happened in this TED Talk is Simon said it's totally different when it comes to successful businesses. It's totally different when it comes to successful leaders. And he said this, successful people, they don't start from the inside out. They start from the out or from the inside out. That's how successful people do it. They start with the why question. They start with, why would you want to do this? Why would you want to buy this product? Why would you want me? Why would you follow a leader? Okay? So he's got this totally different paradigm of how things should work. You don't start with the what, you start with the why. People want to know why to do something. Why? Because we're all busy. Our lives are consumed, our lives are full. We're going to decide if this is something I really need. We're going to decide if this is something I really want to do. So don't try to sell people on the what, you try to sell them with the why. This is why you should do it. So with this in mind, what I want to do is I want to have a creative talk this morning. And my creative talk is this, the why before the what of Christian community. So we're going to start with why before the what of Christian community, okay? So allow me to begin by mentioning the why of Christian community, okay? Because you're probably sitting here today and you're probably thinking, okay, my life is busy. I'm raising kids. I'm working more than 40 hours a week. My life is just full over the top. And why would I dive into Christian community? It just seems like it's just another thing that the church is asking me to do. So this morning, I'm going to talk about the why before the what of Christian community, okay? So why? Why? Why is Christian community so important? Here's the why. Christian community is the vehicle that God uses to grow our faith. Christian community, this is the why. Christian community is the vehicle that God's going to use to grow our faith. Or let me say it this way. Christian community is the why of how you're going to grow your relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's what I want you to hear this morning. Please listen very closely. Here's what I want you to hear. Don't miss it. The fact is, you and I are all the same. And the fact is, we grow when we're in community. I want everybody to hear that. We grow when we're in community. I won't make you say it, but I was so tempted in saying, repeat after me. I won't do that. And I was going to have you say, I grow when I'm in Christian community. But as I thought about this throughout the week, I've discovered as I look back over my life, in the years I've been around, in the years I've been serving Christ, I have discovered this personally for me. I have discovered that I grow the best. I grow the most. I get stronger in my faith. My relationship with Christ grows when I'm in Christian community. When I'm in Christian community. And that's why this popular thought that's going around in our culture today that says, you know what? You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I think that's very dangerous. And the fact is, true, you don't need to go to church to become a Christian. We know that we're saved by grace through faith. But we need to understand this. If we're serious about growing, we need community. We need the church in order to grow. Because here's the fact, the importance of why community. Here's the why. If you're serious about wanting to grow with Jesus, if you're serious about wanting to grow in your faith, it's not going to happen in isolation. It's not going to happen when you're hanging out with people who aren't followers of Jesus. But if you want to grow in your walk with Christ, you're going to have to connect yourself in community. You're going to have to be a part of a community if you're serious about wanting to grow. So let me ask you a question this morning. please don't respond out loud. This is a question that's very, very personal for every person. And the question is, do you want to grow? Think about that. Do you want to grow? Do I want to grow in my faith? Do I want to become more like Christ? And if you're here today and you're saying, yeah, why else would I be in church here this morning? And you're saying, yes, I want to encourage you. That growth is going to take place, not when you're out in isolation doing your own thing, but that growth's going to happen when you're surrounded by other believers and you're coming into community. That's how we grow. That's when our faith grows. And here's the cool thing about that. When we grow, that impacts every area of our lives. I know when I'm growing, it doesn't only impact just church. It impacts my decision-making. It impacts my values. It impacts how I think. It impacts my finances. So I want to be a growing person. Because when I grow, here's another thing I've discovered is that every person I come in contact with, I have a better connection with. I have better influence, positive influence when I'm growing. My world is a better place. My world is a better place when my relationship with Jesus is growing. And I want to say this to you. Everybody look at me. Is everybody looking? Eye contact. Everybody looking. Nobody looking down. I want to say this to you. Your world's a better place when you're growing in your relationship with Christ. If you're married, your marriage is better. If you have kids, that's better. Your work relationships, your other relationships are better when you're growing. So I want to encourage you today. I'm here to be a cheerleader to say, folks, we are created to grow. We are created for community. And that happens when we're just together and we're growing. So that's the why. So is everybody convinced of the why? Say yes. Why? Somebody tell me why. Because when we're in community, we do what?
Grow.
We grow. You grow when you're in community. The danger is when you leave community, it's not going to happen all at once. The next day, it's not going to be like you totally fell off the rocker. But it's a series of time. It's a series of time. When you get away from community, you begin to drift. But if you want to be a person that's serious about your growth, you're going to have to be serious about community, okay? So that's the why. So what I want to do now is I want to move on to, the how. We're going to turn up on the what. So is everybody ready for the what? Say, give me the what. So here's the what. What does Christian community look like? Or better yet, what are the ingredients that make up Christian community? So if you have your Bible this morning, you probably thought, wow, we forgot a Bible verse. We got a lot of Bible from this point forward. So if you have your Bible, I want you to go to Acts chapter 2. It's actually a verse or a text that we looked at several weeks ago when we started this series. So the why is I want my faith to grow. Now the what is, what do I need to do? Okay? The what. And we're going to get the answer to the what in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Because you got to know the context of these verses we're going to read. Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He goes out and he preaches right there early in the faith walk. He preaches, and as a result, 3,000 people give their life to Christ. And now we got this first community of believers, and they don't know what to do. So let's look at what they do, okay? Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. This is a beautiful snapshot of what Christian community should look like. And it says this, all the believers, we're talking about those original 3,000 plus believers on the day of Pentecost, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and they devoted themselves to fellowship, and they devoted themselves to sharing meals, which certainly include the Lord's Supper, and we'll explain what that's all about in a second here. And they devoted themselves to prayer. And it says a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Verse 44. And all the believers met together, and they were in one place. They were in one place, and they shared everything they had. Verse 45, they sold their property. They sold their possessions. And check out what they did. They shared the money with people who had a need. By the way, we're not going to ask you to do that today. So everybody say, oh my, okay, good. Verse 46, they worshiped. Everybody say that word together. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in home for the Lord's Supper and they shared their meals with great joy and with great generosity. In verse 47, our concluding verse says, "And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship." Notice who added to the fellowship. It was the Lord's working. The Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So what does Christian community look like? First, we see that this model community was that they were devoted to four activities. But before we look at these four activities very quickly, I want to say this about the word devoted. That word devoted, in my interpretation, means they were all in. It wasn't just half-hearted. It wasn't just que sera, sera, whatever will be, but the fact is it says that they were devoted, meaning these people were all in. There was nothing else that they would rather be doing. They gave everything. They were all in, okay? And it says that they were all in the four different activities, four different things that they were all into, and we're going to look at these things. By the way, devoted, all in. But they were devoted, first of all, to the apostles' teaching. So now what we're looking at is we're looking at the fact that we grow when we're in community, but now we're looking at what does community really look like? So everybody has a correct understanding. We're looking from the same angle. What does Christian community look like? First of all, Christian community looks like they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And as I said a few weeks back, in the context of this passage, these first century Christians, we need to understand that these first century Christians, they didn't have one of these. Does everybody understand? They didn't have their own Bible. They didn't get together and they didn't open their Bible and have a Bible study. What we need to understand is what they did have, this first group of believers, what they did have is they had 11 disciples. And what they had is these disciples would gather them all together. And as a result, the disciples would begin to share with these believers what they had, what they saw with their own eyes when they were hanging out with Jesus. So I'm sure they're sharing stories about the feeding of the 5,000, the raising of the dead, the healing of sick people, demonic people getting delivered. So they're sharing these stories, and they're also sharing, they were the ear witnesses of what Jesus taught. So they didn't get to open their Bible and say, "Hey, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. No, they sat down and they began to share. The disciples said, "Hey, for 3 years we got to hang out with Jesus. And now we're going to share with you the stories of what we saw, and we're going to share with you the teachings of what we heard." So they didn't open the Bible like we're opening the Bible today. They were simply sharing their firsthand experiences. It was really, really cool. It was like, wow, you guys got to see that. Wow, you guys heard those teachings. And they would share those teachings saying, "Hey, this is the teachings that Jesus not only wanted us to have, but these are the teachings that Jesus would want you to have." And they would share these things together. But here's the deal. Now we're 2,000 years removed, okay? The apostles are dead. But I tell you what we have today, I believe, is even greater, and that is that we have our own copies of the scripture. So how many people have a copy of the Bible? I hope every single hand goes up. And by the way, if your hand didn't go up, look in front of you. There's a blue Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, you won't be stealing it. You can take it with my permission and make it your Bible. Amen? Amen. Because everybody should have a copy of the scriptures. Amen? Amen. Every person. And here's the deal about these scriptures that we have is that they provide spiritual nourishment. That's what the Bible does. It provides spiritual nourishment, but it also provides us with direction that we'll need in order to grow. So what I'm here to tell you today is we're not going to grow without the scriptures. It's our spiritual nourishment, and it gives us direction that we need. And I love what Jesus said concerning the scriptures, because there was a day that Jesus went into the wilderness, and it says that he was in the wilderness for 40 days. And while he was in the wilderness fasting and praying, the devil came and he began to tempt him. And Jesus gave us this great verse. He spoke this verse to the enemy face to face. He says, "Hey, people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You don't live by bread alone, but you live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So here's what I want you to hear today. It's very simple. We all need food for physical nourishment. How many people have already eaten today? Just myself. I'm sorry, I'm a glutton. Can anybody join me this morning? Did anybody else eat yet today? If you haven't eaten yet today, how many people plan on eating just by chance sometime today? Oh my goodness, you guys are a rough crowd. You ought to try this sometime. No, I haven't eaten all day. I don't plan to eat all week. No. That's not how it works. Just as you need food for physical nourishment, how many people know that you also need food for spiritual nourishment? Because the fact is, we are a triune being. We're made up of body, we're made up of soul, and we're made up of spirit. And so what we do every day for physical nourishment is we eat food. It's just common sense. You feel the hunger pains, you do what? You raid the refrigerator, okay? And usually we eat a lot more than we really need, all right? Let's move on there. But anyway, the same thing is true spiritually. Is if we're going to grow spiritually, if our spiritual man's going to get strong and stay healthy, we also need to make sure we're spending time in God's word. So what happens if you stop eating food physically? What happens? What happens is you begin to be weak. You experience what is called malnourishment. Have you ever seen a picture of a malnourished person? It's not very pretty. It's actually very heartbreaking. But what do you think happens when we don't read God's word? Yes, we take time to read God's word here on Sunday morning, but how many people eat physical food more than just once a week? Anyone? Anyone? Any takers on this question? Please help the pastor out. Is there anybody that eats food more than once a week? Yes. How many people know we need to eat food spiritually more than once a week? Amen? Amen. It's just, we talk about this a lot. And it was funny because last week my neighbor came to church. And I didn't even invite her to come. She just came on her own. And it really stimulated some wonderful conversations this week as we met in our front yards. And she says, I think it's funny that you guys really encourage people to read your Bibles. Because she said in the denomination, the church I grew up in, they really frowned actually upon people on their own reading the Bible. Folks, we're all about saying all of you, not just the pastor, not just the clergy, not just the board members, everyone get into the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Get it. Let's get it. So here's my question to you today is this. Are you eating daily? Are you eating daily? And I just want to encourage you. We got to just get in this pattern of eating daily. And you say, well, how much? Well, you just start with an appetizer. If all you need is a psalm for the day, so be it. If all you need is the proverb of the day, so be it. Start somewhere. But are you eating daily? And I just want to let you know this, that I'm not asking this question legalistically, wanting to hit you over the head with your Bible. I'm asking this question in love. I'm asking this question for your well-being. Are you feeding that spiritual man? Is that spiritual part of you getting stronger? It needs to be. Because we're in attacks all the time, and we need to be able to stand strong and fight. And we need to stand strong and have the strength through the power of the word. Amen? And then it says this, the second thing they were devoted to was fellowship. And by the way, fellowship, what is it? It's not two fellows in a ship. About 10 people got that joke. It's not two fellows. Okay. What is fellowship? Fellowship is a group of people. That group can be one or two. Actually, that group could be two or it can't be one. Okay. That's not a group. Rewind. That group can be two or three people, it can be 10 people, it can be 1,000 people. But the common thing about these people is they're united to one another by their common beliefs. And our common beliefs is that we believe in the gospel. We believe, as we said last week, in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we have that common belief, and as a result, we have common purposes. We have a common goals. And these are the people, they have this fellowship. as a result of those common beliefs, and what they choose to do is they choose to participate in life together. See, that's how the plan is. The plan is that once you've come to faith in Christ, is you begin to do life together with other like-minded people. And I put this in my notes, and I want everybody to hear it super, super duper clear. And that is, yes, you can still have friendships. And yes, you can still have a relationship with other unbelievers. I have several relationships with and friendships with unbelievers. I think that's healthy for a believer. But true Christian fellowship can only occur with someone who is within the body of Christ. That's what binds us together. And why is this? Because believers are united in the Spirit through Jesus. And that's what we have in common this morning. See, there's a lot of variety of people in this room. We're a mixed bag of nuts. And I mean that in a very positive way. Meaning there's a lot of different interests in this room. There's a lot of different, there's different races, there's different sex, there's a whole bunch of different things. But the thing that brings us together on a Sunday morning is this whole fact that we have faith in Jesus Christ and we're united through the Spirit. Amen? And here's my question for you this morning. That's a good question. Are you living life with other believers? By the way, please be sure that you hear me. Yes, have unbelieving friends. Yes, have unbelieving, that's okay. You just need to be careful that they're not pulling you down. So what you need is you need to make sure that you do have other believers, that when you're together, you're building one another up. You're encouraging one another, okay? And we say yes to those people in our lives. We don't put them, but we need that. And I'm concerned when people say, hey, I don't need that. You need it. If you're going to grow, you need other believers. Here's the one I like most of the four. This is my favorite one. By the way, those people have common beliefs, purposes, and goals, the people you're hanging out with. You have that group of people. Do you have people like that in your life? You're saying yes. You're inviting them to do life with you. Here's my favorite, sharing meals. How many people like to eat? I know this crowd is tough this morning. I like to eat. Can you tell? I like to eat, okay? Here's the funny thing. In the context of this first century culture, what these people would do is they would get together and they would regularly have a meal together. And then after the meal, they would have what we do every second Sunday of the month. They would have communion. They would do that a lot more frequently than we would do. They would gather for a meal, and then they would have communion together. So they would observe communion quite frequently. They would remember the broken body, the sacrifice of Christ, because that was why they were together. That was their strength, okay? So sharing meals, why is sharing meals so important? I was thinking about that this week because I couldn't find the biblical answer why sharing meals is important. But I've discovered this about sharing meals is that something happens when you eat together with other people. I think there's something about, something happens when you're eating. There's a tendency to be able to relax. And there's a tendency to let the guard down and take the mask off and begin to really share things. Food has a way of helping us just to kind of, relax. And we get to talk about the things that really matter. You know, I don't want to embarrass anybody today, but I probably will. Tony and Jeremiah do this so well. Tony, Jeremiah, just raise your hand. Everybody knows where you're at. Those people do this well. How do I know? Because they're in my neighborhood. They live three doors down, and I'm a very nosy neighbor. Amen? How many times have I called and said, hey, you know your door's open? Your headlights are on? Why? Because I'm a nosy person. I'm like the neighborhood security. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Heather's like, I'll say, oh, Heather, Nancy, and Jim are up because I can see them through the window. Nancy and Jim are having company. They didn't invite us. I'm not kidding, am I, Heather? Nosy neighbor. So anyway, nosy neighbor Mike notices that Jeremiah and Tony like to have people over for dinner. Nosy neighbor and Mike realize every Tuesday night they have alpha, Spanish alpha, at their house. And nosy neighbor Mike knows that they make food for everyone that comes to their house. That's awesome. nosy neighbor Mike talked to Sophie last Sunday and said, "Sophie, what's your plans for the day?" She said, "Oh, we're having people over for Easter dinner." I said, "Well, who you having over?" Sophie's saying, "Knowing my mother, it's no telling who's coming over." You know what? That's a gift. That's a gift. The Bible talks about having this gift of hospitality. And I realize some people have that gift and it comes so natural. It flows so easily. But there's other people that you better think twice if somebody else is coming into my house. That's your place. And I just want to encourage us to let's release that, maybe that ownership a little. I'm not asking for big steps. Everybody say baby steps. Baby steps. Here's the question. I'm getting real nosy here. Oh, that's what it looked like. Doesn't that look fun? Some people are like, no. By the way, there's no carpet on the floor underneath that table. It's all good, okay? Invite people, share meals together. And I'm concerned that we've become so busy in our culture today. We're always running from point A to point B, B to C, C to D, all the way through the alphabet. That's our day. And how many times do we have time to have people over for dinner? I've already alerted Heather that when Nolan leaves, and it's coming soon, we're going to do more of this. Right, babe? It's going to be fun, okay? Okay, my question is, and I don't know why I didn't put it on the slide. My question is, when's the last time you had another believer over to your home for a meal? When's the last time you had another believer over to your home for a meal? Some people are like, oh, he better move on. Your hands are sweating. You're like, that ain't going to happen. But I just want to encourage you, try it. You might like it. Sharing meals. And some of you are saying, well, don't we do that didn't we at least used to do that once a month in the church basement? Yeah. But I think it's something much, much more than that. I think it's something about when you invite somebody to your house. You let them in on your turf, your territory, and you share a meal together. There's something dynamic. There's a dynamic that happens. Amen? Is everybody ready to move on? Oh, yes, nervous. Let's forget about having people over. Let's move on to the next one. They were all in, this all-in community, how we grow as we grow in prayer. Prayer. As I said a couple weeks ago, there's two types of prayer. There's a private prayer. Jesus talks about private prayer in Matthew chapter 5. He says, hey, when you pray, not if you pray, he says, when you pray. He says, hey, don't be like the hypocrites. Jesus is always on these guys' back. He says, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. So what these guys were doing is they were standing and they were wanting everybody to see how spiritual they were. And they were trying to make everybody look at how wonderful we are. We pray in these public places. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they're going to get. But Jesus gives us this instruction about private prayer. He says, but when you pray, not if, but when you pray, he says, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father in heaven in private. Then your Father who sees everything, here's the deal, he's going to reward you. So there's certain things called private prayers. When you just go to that, do you have a private prayer place? Where you say, yeah, that's where I shut the door. That's where me and God, not only do I talk, but I listen. Because prayer is a two-way piece of communication. So there's a private prayer, but the Bible also talks very clearly about a corporate prayer. And look what Jesus said about corporate prayer. He says, I tell you this, this is the Son of God speaking. He says, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Verse 20, and here's a beautiful promise, for where two or three gather together, and they're gathered as followers, Jesus says, I'm there. So how many people know Jesus is here this morning? I'm there among them. So there needs to be a private prayer and there needs to be a public prayer. So I didn't put this question on the slide either. But let me ask you this question. Do you have a person, you have a go-to person? Do you have a go-to person that you can go and pray with? Because we grow those. That's one of the ways we grow when we pray together in this community. We have people we go to in prayer. Do you have somebody that you can go to when there's something very challenging on your plate? Something that's very difficult on your plate. Do you have a place to pray? Corporate prayer is very important. Does everybody understand that this morning? So Lord, I just pray in closing this morning that this will be a church that we're growing in community. We're growing as a community of believers. We're growing healthy. We're hearing the word together. We're fellowshipping together. People are eating together. But Lord, we're praying together. We have prayer partners, Lord. This is real. This is so real, you guys. This is part of community that is going to help us to grow. So Lord, I just pray your blessing on each one as they go. Bless every single marriage. Every marriage would have your blessing. Every marriage will experience peace. Every family with children will experience peace and wholeness. God, move in this place, not only on Sunday, move on Monday through Saturday. Show us your glory, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name. Let's all pray together as we close. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Folks, when you're asking for daily bread, you're asking, God, give me what I need for today.